Your chance of deciding a presidential election? 1 in 60 million. You're more likely to die in a car crash driving to the polls. The expected value of your vote is $0.00017. The cost of casting it, time, gas, parking, is about $50. Democracy was designed so that your individual participation is mathematically meaningless. What isn't meaningless is the $4.1 billion corporations spend annually on lobbying. That math works out just fine. The Founding Fathers were brilliant men. They anticipated tyranny, corruption, foreign invasion, and mob rule. They did not anticipate Florida. What democracy should look like versus reality. Princeton University analyzed 1,779 policy decisions over 20 years. The correlation between what ordinary voters want and what actually happens? 0%. When economic elites want something? 78% of the time. You have the same political influence as your houseplant. Slightly less, actually. Your houseplant produces oxygen, which at least one congressman needs. Your institutions tell the whole story in their names. You have a Department of Defense that mainly attacks people, a Department of Health that has not yet produced any observable health, and a Department of Justice that, you can see where this is going. Whether 0% or 100% of voters support a bill, it has the same about 30% chance of passing. Democracy is a slot machine where every poll gives the same result, but you keep playing because the machine has an American flag on it. The mathematics of political failure. Concentrated benefits versus diffuse costs. Sugar subsidies cost Americans $3.5 billion per year. That's $10 per person. Will you spend weeks fighting to save $10? No. Will sugar companies spend millions to keep their $3.5 billion? Yes. Guess who wins? Them. This pattern repeats everywhere. Pharma companies see $500 billion in concentrated profits. Patients endure $1,500 each in diffuse suffering. The winner is not you. Banks in 2008 received a $700 billion bailout. Concentrated. You pay $2,100 in taxes, diffuse. The winner is the ones with yachts. How money buys power. Campaign contributions don't directly buy how politicians vote. Only 1 in 4 studies support that. The system is much more elegant than bribery. Bribery is what poor countries do. Rich countries have campaign finance. But they do something far more effective. They buy which politicians exist in the first place. 95% of House races since 2004 were won by the highest spender. The average winning House campaign cost $2.79 million. The average winning Senate campaign cost $26.53 million. Why bribe a politician when you can just manufacture one who already agrees with you? It's like complaining about the menu when you own the restaurant. For the ones already in office, contributions buy something more subtle than votes. Access. Your call gets returned, theirs goes to voicemail. Agenda control. Your issue gets a hearing, theirs gets buried. Legislative language. The exact wording that creates loopholes. Committee positions. $450,000 to party committees buys a seat where bills live or die. You don't buy the vote, you buy the voter, the agenda, and the room where the vote happens. The lobbying ROI, 18-to-1 returns. The most profitable investment in America isn't stocks, real estate, or crypto, it's congressmen. Disease advocacy groups spend $100 million on lobbying. They get $1.8 billion in increased funding. The ROI is an 18-to-1 ratio, 1,700% net return. Meanwhile, breast cancer has great lobbyists, which results in massive funding. Heart disease kills more people, but having worse lobbyists results in less funding. Rare pediatric diseases have no lobbyists and therefore receive no funding. democracy doesn't allocate resources by who's dying, it allocates by who can afford the best lobbyist. If your disease can't hire a PR firm, it's not a real disease, it's just dying. Your congressman, a fundraiser who occasionally legislates. The average congressman spends 4 hours a day on fundraising. The average congressman spends 0 hours a day reading bills. Actual governing is whatever time is left. They don't read what they vote on. The Patriot Act was 342 pages, voted on 45 minutes after release. That's 7.6 pages per minute. Olympic speed readers can't do that. The Affordable Care Act was 2,700 pages, and the famous quote was, "We have to pass it to see what's in it." These people control nuclear weapons. Sleep tight. Congressional committees, the menu. Committees control which bills live or die. Both parties assign fundraising quotas for each seat. Raise this much for the party or lose your assignment. Don't hit your number, your bills die, your amendments vanish, and your name goes on a literal wall of shame. It's like a restaurant where the waiters have to pay for their own sections. Here's the menu. Want to be House Speaker? Raise $20 to $31 million for your party. Want to chair a powerful committee like Ways and Means or Appropriations? That'll cost you about $1.2 to $1.8 million in party fundraising. Even a basic freshman member owes a six-figure fundraising quota just to keep their seat at the table. For the House Speaker position, the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee, or DCCC, requires $31 million, and the National Republican Congressional Committee, or NRCCC, requires $20 million because the Speaker controls the entire agenda. For the Ways and Means Chair, where all tax laws start, Democrats must raise $1.8 million and Republicans must raise $1.2 million. For Energy and Commerce, covering health care, energy, and telecommunications, Democrats must raise $1.8 million and Republicans must raise $1.2 million. A regular committee seat costs between $500,000 and $1 million for Democrats and $875,000 for Republicans, which still beats irrelevance. A basic member owes at least $150,000 as the entry fee to play. This is why congressmen spend 4 hours a day fundraising. They're not campaigning, they're paying rent. The people writing your healthcare laws literally bought their positions from the industries those laws regulate. On your planet, this is called the system working. Public choice theory, the Nobel Prize for cynicism. In 1986, James Buchanan won the Nobel Prize in Economics for formally proving what anyone who has ever been to the DMV already knew. People don't become angels when you give them a government ID badge. This is public choice theory. Bureaucrats, politicians, and regulators are just as selfish as everyone else. The only difference is that when a corporation is greedy, you can stop buying their product. When a bureaucracy is greedy, they can arrest you for not buying their product. What they actually maximize. The NIH should maximize cures, but actually maximizes grants awarded, resulting in no cures. The FDA should maximize lives saved, but actually maximizes avoiding lawsuits, resulting in deadly delays. Congress should maximize voter welfare, but actually maximizes campaign donations, resulting in corporate welfare. Pharma should maximize health outcomes, but actually maximizes recurring revenue, meaning chronic disease is preferred. Defense contractors should maximize national security, but actually maximize government contracts, resulting in endless wars. Nobody in the system is incentivized to cure disease or end war. You could elect 535 clones of Gandhi, and within 2 years, they'd be taking pharma money. The system digests idealists like a stomach digests food. It doesn't matter what you put in. You get the same output. Citizens United made corporations people, who can donate unlimited money through super PACs. Corporations are people now, which is odd because you can't imprison a corporation, give it chemotherapy, or make it feel shame. Pharmaceutical companies write their own regulations. The Medicare Modernization Act, banned the government from negotiating drug prices. That's why insulin that costs $6 to make costs you $300, a 4,900% markup. Your street corner drug dealers find this excessive, and they don't even have shareholders. The military-industrial complex distributes operations across 42 states so that cutting any program threatens local jobs in enough congressional districts to make it impossible. It's a tumor that grew its own blood supply. The Pentagon has never passed an audit, but somehow knows it needs more money. They can't tell you where the last trillion went, but they're very confident about needing the next one. Pharma employs 3 lobbyists for every member of Congress. The FDA gets 75% of its drug review budget from the companies it regulates. For details, see FDA, unsafe and ineffective. The system maintains itself with the elegant efficiency of a parasite that keeps its host alive just enough to keep feeding. Cures are a one-time payment. Treatments are recurring revenue. Approving a bad drug ends careers, delaying a good one ends lives, but not careers, and careers are what matter to people with careers. Everyone who matters wins, everyone who's dying loses. The system works perfectly, it's just optimized for the wrong thing. The solution they don't want. The whole system runs on one trick. Each American loses about $12 a year to lobbying. Not worth a phone call. Each corporation gains $100 million, worth 1,000 phone calls, a lobbyist army, and a senator's vacation home. But what if curing disease was more profitable than treating it? What if peace paid better than war? That's what a 1% treaty does. It doesn't fight the corruption machine. It feeds different inputs. You're going to outbribe the bribers with math. P.S. If this chapter depressed you, good. Depression is the correct response to your political system. But remember, the same corruption that lets corporations buy politicians also lets you buy them back. Politicians don't have principles, they have prices. And prices, unlike principles, can be negotiated.